Corner.
But that the WTO in 1999.
But that the WTO in 1999.
Was the birth.
Was the birth.
Of a global citizens movement.
Of a global citizens movement.
For a democratic global economy.
For a democratic global economy.
Global economy, we lose our desire, our power, and our vision. In any part of the world, there are men and women who choose the path of least resistance, who accept lives of fear and isolation. But we will respond to death with life. We will respond to the nightmare with the dream. We will fight and imagine and create. And we will resist.
In my view, corporate rule is dictatorship, and the denial of shaping your economy is an end of democracy.
IMF, World Bank, MAI. NAFTA, WTO. The World Trade Organization is the latest in a series of agreements designed to regulate the global economy. It can use sanctions and fines to override the labor, safety, and environmental standards of individual nations. Mexico, January 1994. France, December 1995. Korea, January 1997. Montreal, May 1998. Seattle, November 1999. This is what democracy looks like. A documentary by the Independent Media Center and Big Noise Films. In November 1999, the WTO was scheduled to hold its last meeting of the millennium behind the closed doors of a convention center in downtown Seattle. Activists prepared to blockade the streets to prevent the meetings from taking place.
The people don't stop, that's right! Ain't no power like the power of the people.
This group, nothing gets thrown at us. We are not in danger. We have no intentions of making any move on you.
We're all committed to nonviolence here, so we just want to make sure we demonstrate that to you. So we'll...
I haven't heard anybody in 30 years. I don't plan to start now.
Who's cops? Our cops! Who's cops? Our cops! Who's cops? Our cops! Who's cops? Our cops! Who's cops? Our cops!
No power like the power of the people, because the power of the people don't stop. Say what?
On Tuesday, November 30th, more than 50,000 protesters converged on downtown Seattle.
This is a momentum today because we see the oppressed people of the South and the oppressed people of the North all together here.
Two thousand people marched from South Seattle with delegations from Asia, Africa, and Latin America. 4,000 students marched to the Seattle Center from the north.
That we had entered the darkest night and that corporations were threatening to further erode our sovereignty and make it impossible for our children to experience true freedom. We rise up and we say no. Separation is a device used against you to tell you who you should and should not talk with, fraternize with, be friends with. You have a choice. You have a choice to be a union, to be one voice, to be the people.
We are the anti-WTO. Yes. People before profits.
People before profits.
People before profit and before all things, life, 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 life,
when all the trees are gone, what you gonna breathe? Your money! When all the water's polluted, what you gonna drink? Your money! When all your food is made of plastic, what you gonna eat? Your money!
You've got people here from all over. You got labor, you got environmentalists, you got teachers, you've got children, you've got coalitions between people of color and you know, mainstream white Americans. You've got middle class, you got working poor, you got poor. You got everybody out here because this hurts people. This is bad for people. It's bad for our jobs here. It's bad for the people over there.
It's about their future being traded off by corporations who frankly don't give a shit what happens to them. That's what it's about. That's what people are fed up with. They understand it.
Ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of information. We are successfully blocking out delegates.
We are making available for you to leave now. There are protesters at the end of 6th Avenue on each end of our block, so you'd be let out right in the middle of the protest. I recommend you stay here if you can.
Yes, yes.
The opening session is still postponed. I called and asked for an immediate update.
They said to relax, put your feet up, go to your hotel room, relax, have lunch, or until the situation is safer out there.
I would stay here.
You cannot get to the Paramount. You cannot get to the Paramount.
I think the beautiful thing about it was there was no mastermind. What there was an invitation to join hands. And the joining of hands happened because everyone knew you have to hold your hands and hold each other's hands, otherwise we're not going to make a difference. Each of us is too tiny. Each of us is only addressing a tiny piece of this giant problem. And until we join hands, we're not even going to start to begin to address it. But if we join hands, we can totally surround it. And that physically, literally, as well as symbolically, is what happened in Seattle.
We changed the landscape physically, but also mentally. Life is very restricted and boxed in. It's hard to break out and be free. So that was one of like the magnificent things about being in Seattle. That day, people didn't feel helpless. That was a moment to not be helpless.
Remove you from this intersection. I would like to not hurt anyone. However, we will clear this intersection. We will clear it with chemical and paint compliance. If you do not move, you will be the subject of pain.
Yeah.
on Tuesday, Seattle police used OC spray on nonviolent protesters. OC spray has been linked to over 100 fatalities in the U.S. CS gas was first used by the U.S. military in the Vietnam War. Exposure to CS gas has been associated with miscarriages, chromosomal mutations, and heart failure. Thousand people gathered in Memorial Stadium to rally with workers from around the world. The largest show of international solidarity in the history of the AFL-CIO.
This demonstration is not a demonstration of United States. It is a demonstration of all working class people all over the world, rich country, poor country, white country, country, all countries.
You know, it's difficult because a lot of working class in this country don't make the link that they are linked directly with people in Brazil, that they are linked directly with people in Mexico City. And what happens to those folks happens to them. Not immediately, but damn, it'll happen to them.
They have said to us in countries like mine, Barbados, if you want jobs, you have to forget trade union rights. If you want jobs, you have to forget labor laws. If you want jobs, you have to forget decent wages. We have said to hell with you.
We weren't just talking about Seattle. We weren't just talking about Washington State. We weren't just talking about America.
The people united will never be defeated.
It was a world coming together in Seattle and saying, this is what we want. This is what we deserve. This is what we are going to damn demand.
While American business prospers, American workers don't. While American agribusiness prospers, American farmers don't.
It's a stealth government. It's creating a global constitution, protecting property and the interests of big investors over everything else, and especially over the needs of people and their rights.
The economies of local communities and national systems are handed over to global corporations through the coercive rules of the World Bank, IMF, and the World Trade Organization.
All the victories that we had won with the struggle of the civil rights movement, with the working class struggles, have finally been hacked away.
Since its creation, the WTO has determined every environmental, labor, or safety policy it has reviewed to be an illegal trade barrier.
Content was just trying to put on a rally here at the Memorial Stadium and then march downtown and march back. But the real war, the real point of impact was downtown.
There was a line of marshals that the national leadership of the AFL had, I believe, set up. There's some effort on some elements in the labor movement to do whatever they could to keep people away from the front lines and from supporting those people who are being assaulted by the police. A huge number of rank and file trade unionists and some of the gutsier unions, they walked right through the marshals and joined us on the front lines to hold the police lines back.
You have to kind of embrace a diversity of people as well as a diversity of tactics. If you're 45 and you're working in a factory and you've got a family of four to feed, your tactics and thinking at this protest are going to be a little bit different than if you're, you know, 17 or 18 or 19. Our differences are our strengths. I don't think anybody wants to live in like a homogenous culture.
At the Wellco factory in China, workers are paid 16 cents an hour. They work 77 to 84 hours a week. They are subjected to humiliation, verbal abuse, and corporal punishment. They are fined for talking at work. They are arbitrarily fired if pregnant or over 25 years old. They make tennis shoes for Nike.
Benefit because we have such a diversity of tactics to have a little bit more dialogue between, say, the people prepared to do civil disobedience, which means they're locked down in a certain position or what have you. They're very vulnerable to force by the authorities. So you can't put them in danger by choosing a tactic that's going to bring down the wrath of the state on people who sort of put themselves in a higher risk situation. So for that reason, there needs to be a little bit more awareness of who might be doing what. Not that a statement didn't have, you know, need to be made.
Penny, it is so sad to see all the destruction.
To me, it was a perfect example as to why we need to fight, because this city got up in arms about them breaking Starbucks' window. You know what I mean? They didn't go out and hurt somebody.
For us to have to close our stores during the peak season, the holiday Christmas season just beginning, really is an injustice.
Everyone, because of the property, downtown Christmas shopping, was up in arms. And to me, that exemplifies we're fighting against capitalism. And they'll go to any lengths to protect capitalism.
Late Tuesday, the mayor declared a state of civil emergency and called in the National Guard. A 25-block no-protest zone was created in which it was illegal to carry signs, wear buttons, or express an opinion about the WTO.
Difficult day for police.
And I think our officers are exercising remarkable restraint.
It was the actions of the protesters, the demonstrators, that led them to take the actions they did.
There is not one corner of this downtown area that has not fell victim to this destruction.
The protesters vowed to bring anarchy to downtown Seattle for another day.
But the National Guard will be...
We understood why we were out there. We understood what was going on. So when you went home and looked at TV, you know that was what was being portrayed there was not what really happened if you were out there on the street.
We have not used tear gas, and we will not be using tear gas.
Make the decision to steer their march out of downtown, try to keep their parade nonviolent.
They characterized the labor march as the peaceful march, and then everybody else got lumped in with the violence or the other stuff they were so up in arms about.
Extremely tense situation in downtown Seattle.
Violent protesters.
Threatening demonstrations.
And the way they characterized youth really hurts. When they saw black youth in the streets during WTO, they called them gang members. So I felt that they just played a role in just reinforcing all of the isms that already exist.
The leftover protesters were even fighting among themselves.
No one here blames labor or environmentalists or even Seattle.
Protesters turn on one another.
Our coming together is where our power is, and so it makes sense that they would focus on our differences and divisions.
The mayor urging protesters not to repeat this tomorrow. But no one quite sure what could happen with the WTO and protesters still in town.
While corporations build empires across borders, we are fenced in. We are taught to fear each other, and isolation leaves us powerless. Corporate power can only build its global networks by dividing us. In the new global marketplace, we are cut off from each other and from what we might ourselves become.
December 1st.
There was so much fear coming out of Tuesday. I mean, we had been shot at. We had been gassed. People had been beaten and shot. People didn't expect that going into Tuesday. And people had to recommit themselves and reaffirm their position.
That night, we ended up meeting up on the corner of Broadway and John and decided about what we were going to do the next day. The next day, we'd meet up at 6:30 at Denny Park, and then we'd try to take back the city. We started to weave our way through the roadblocks that they had set up, and I looked around and could see people were afraid. And at that point, I said, "You know, that's really not fear in your gut or in your throat. That's really your first taste of freedom." People were coming out of nowhere. I mean, it was like a scene from that Michael Jackson video Thriller. People were like coming out of manholes. People were coming out of cars. So we went from like 50 people to like 100 people to like 150 people to like 300 people. And then just the numbers just kept growing. I don't know where all these people came from. And I think the cops were totally surprised by that.
On Wednesday morning, while some protesters marched into the no-protest zone, steelworkers prepared for a sanctioned rally at the docks.
People had come off of Tuesday night, and it was pretty rebellious, and people were unclear about why the suddenly, you know, very negative and aggressive response by the police and that sort of thing. And so, like, you know, Wednesday was the defining day from Tuesday night about how people were going to respond.
We are ready. We are ready. Let's give the steel workers a good name this time around.
Fear by a lot of union officials about just the word direct action. It makes it sound too militant.
Unfortunately, big labor these days has a big fat history of really writing itself right out of people's movements.
We had some unions that absolutely wanted to be in the street and wanted to be as aggressive as anybody. And then we had others that thought that it was absolutely ridiculous that we were out there.
Power! 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 Power to the people!
There was an intentional focus to split the coalition. It wasn't just labor doing it on itself. The police pressure, the news, everything wanted to do that.
Power!
Power!
Power! Power to the people!
Power to the people!
All right, you're beautiful!
Downtown, police chased protesters into West Lake Park.
Buses and going on and searching, identifying people they thought were demonstrators and pulling them off. They were searching people on the way downtown. If they found anything that they thought might be a demonstrator, leaflets, which is supposed to be freedom of speech in this country, people were arrested. When we were trying to walk down, they stopped us and arrested 30 people in the street. They followed us around Seattle. Now they've corralled us into the square. We're just here. This is actually supposed to be one of the designated demonstration areas for this whole WTO thing. We're supposed to have that right. It's guaranteed in the Constitution again. The mayor does not have the right to supersede the Constitution, but that's been done here today.
I think at that point, all of the national media, international media, were probably showing things, and you know, the city just wanted to get rid of us. We were put on buses and taken to Sandpoint.
We can't win this fight alone. If we're going to be successful in taking on the power brokers, the multinational corporations, right, and all that money, the only way that you can take on global capitalism is with a global movement of people.
While there was discordance that we are about the same issues, but we are not about identical issues. Yeah, the rubric is the same, the umbrella is the same, but within each of our movements we can shape and articulate our freedom, while just being fully aware of other people.
And that we all have things in common. It doesn't mean that we're always going to agree on everything. But we cannot allow those little things that we don't agree on to get in the way of the ultimate goal. And the goal is to take back democracy on this planet.
Network, the people who helped with us shut down the WTO in the streets of Seattle.
Well, I'd like to say that all of us in the Direct Action Network that are still out of jail came down today to support you guys. And show them what coalitions are. When labor and student and environmentalists and human rights activists stand together, we can and did shut down the WTO. We love you guys. We want to keep these coalitions strong, and we want to show the WTO that if we stand together in solidarity, we cannot be stopped. Thank you.
If you got a credit card, you're welcome as hell downtown, but if you want to bring your First Amendment rights with you, you're on your way to the pokey. So I want to sing a song about a time-honored American tradition, and that's civil disobedience.
Yeah.
Hell, was it Cesar Chavez? Maybe it was Dorothy Day. Some will say Dr. King and Gandhi set them on. For justice, you're in good company. Have you been to jail for justice? Won't you shake your hand? Or sitting in and lying down or ways to take a stand? Have you sung a song for freedom or marched that picket line? Have you been to jail for justice? Oh, you're a friend of mine.
I stayed out there in the rain and I watched. I watched youngsters who were peacefully demonstrating, who weren't doing a damn thing to hurt anybody, who went down the streets, and I watched them jackbooted, helmeted, club-holding. You were treated shabbily. If this was my city, I would apologize to you for that happening in this city. And I want to welcome, this is where you belong, right here with the labor movement.
Then the rally ended, and then there was no march.
Come on down! Come on downtown! Come on downtown! Shut it down!
There was such a sense of disappointment at that point that we weren't actually going to challenge this no protest order. So some of us got together and organized a follow-up march, and we went from the pier, climbed the Pike Street hill, climbed there up towards downtown. We got to Second Avenue, there was a group of maybe 2,000 people, and they were moving from our left to our right, and it was obvious they were running from something.
On Wednesday, protesters received word that the WTO trade negotiations were on shaky ground. With the world's attention focused on Seattle, delegates from developing countries began openly criticizing the WTO's anti-democratic process.
Malcolm once said that riot is the voice of the people, you know? This wasn't a riot by any means of the word. But it was a manifestation of the people's voice. And the response by the police department was one of the most significant turning points. It told everybody that all of you are slaves, and you better get back in your place.
Saw those police chasing the kids down the street. These are the same kids that have been marching with us. They weren't doing anything wrong.
People got pissed. And I had trade unionists who, just a matter of days before, were saying we shouldn't be out there, calling me up saying, when are we going to protest next? I want to be there, because what's going on is wrong. And one thing that you gotta say about the labor movement, you know, when our sisters and brothers think something's wrong, they will get engaged. Sometimes it takes a while to get there, right? And they, you know, we all have to connect the dots. But, you know, when they saw people that they had marched with on Tuesday, that they had developed relationships with on Tuesday, being beaten and being gassed, right? That.
I'm just so ashamed of my country right now. I'm crying because I got pepper gas, but I'd cry anyway. I mean, it's.
It radicalized a lot of people to see that when push came to shove, that they were totally willing, in fact, had a blueprint for making war on their own people.
On Wednesday, a mayoral decree made it illegal to buy, sell, or possess a gas mask in the city of Seattle.
Nobody gave us any warning. They trapped us in the blocks and they doused us with tear gas. I have a 7-year-old child. I'm out here to voice my opinions on how we should protect our environment for the future. And I have the right to assemble, and my rights have been taken away today.
They have a letter from Nick Licata, who's a councilman, saying that she is no threat to the public and that she has the right to freely walk the streets in the city of Seattle. And she is showing that to the police now, that Nick Licata says she should be able to walk the streets.
What they're telling us is that it's okay for you to protest if you're small in numbers and weak, but once you grow into a mass movement, it's not okay to protest.
Your normal rights don't apply this week in Seattle, apparently.
Why is that?
Because we're winning.
Seattle Mayor Paul Schell was in our King 5
News. We are joined by Ray Waldman, the director of the Seattle Host Committee for the WTO.
8 corporations own over 50% of all media in the U.S.
Police Chief Norm Stamper talked to reporters.
Mayor Paul Schell.
Police Department defends its methods.
Seattle Police Department.
Pam McCammon joins us on the telephone right now. She is with the Seattle Police Department.
Obviously, we feel that we have handled things very well, even though some people decided to be violent. Still, we have been and done things correctly. We have not made mistakes.
How many students were injured?
Less than 20.
Now, a democracy such as ours is tested on a routine basis. Obviously, we are witnessing that here on the streets of Seattle, as certain rights may or may not be taken away due to the situation at hand.
Certainly, in the face of intense provocation, our police officers responded very, very effectively. We, too, share in the anguish and the pain to see windows boarded up at dozens of businesses.
And you need to help us with that, because if they see themselves being made heroes or victims, then we are sending the wrong messages.
And the cops just started running at us all of a sudden with canisters. I guess it was pepper spray, and just attacking the crowd.
How do you feel right now?
A lot better. I'm pretty calm. My eyes hurt, and I can't really open them without a lot of pain.
Well, good luck, Natalie. Keep your eyes shut. You can't see anything. That's pretty much the story for people who are getting in the way down here.
What can I do?
I would stand on the side of the street and stay out of the way, ma'am.
Anyone who wants to stand down here and be in the way, I guess they're inviting trouble upon themselves.
Police decided on Wednesday night to do what I personally call just hunting people. And they literally pushed them from Pike Place Market down First Avenue. They're out of the no protest zone. They're out of the curfew zone. The curfew had not even happened yet. And here's the police marching down the street, actually hunting them down.
As the police surrounded this group of protesters, and we gave refuge to them in the labor temples.
Hey, we've talked for 4 days.
We'll sit down.
If you're media, please step to the front. If you're not, sit tight.
Okay, we need you.
So,
Sir, do you have credentials as media?
Independent media.
Do you have credentials? Sit down. Stand up, move around the can, and go across the street to the rest of the crowd. Stand up, walk around, across the street to the rest of the crowd.
What if we don't want to be arrested?
More.
We don't want to be arrested.
No, you're not media.
May I go this way?
No, you may not. Go.
They just arrested people. And we had people that did nothing but come out of the Labor Temple building and followed instructions that were given by the police that ended up in jail. So, and at that point, we said enough is enough.
The Seattle Police Department arrested 630 people on charges ranging from failure to disperse to assaulting a police officer.
If we wanted to, we could have tore this city apart. There was 50,000 people in the streets yesterday, and a handful of people broke a handful of windows. And now they're taking the peaceful protesters that are out here and treating them really wrong. It's wrong. They should realize that if we wanted to raise hell out here, it could have happened.
From a Cold War militarization that threatened humanity with one blow, we have moved to the militarization of every aspect of life. A militarization that threatens humanity with many blows, in many places, and in many ways. National armies created to defend against foreign enemies are turning their rifles inward.
The United Nations has identified 36 wars in the world today. All of them are civil wars. 89% of police departments now have paramilitary units.
Global corporate power depends on armies to protect it, jails to silence dissent, and violence to pave the way for its expansion. National repression is the necessary premise for corporate globalization. Every country, every city, every house, every person, everything is a battleground.
There are more than 2 million people in U.S. prisons. 70% of them are people of color. Corporate ownership of U.S. prisons has grown 1,000% in the last decade. December 2nd. Sandpoint Naval Station.
We were peacefully assembled and we have been arrested without being charged, and we are being detained here without being charged, and we'd like to speak with our lawyer. We are citizens with voices and we'd like our voices to be heard. Our constitutional rights have been suspended today.
We had decided on the buses and prior to that in our own affinity groups that, you know, if we were to get arrested, we would not give our name, we would not cooperate in any way, we would not be separated. We would all ask for and make the same demands, which were immediate release, no, all charges to be dropped.
We are not getting off the bus until we have a meeting with our lawyer on the bus.
There were about four other buses that were parked beside us, so trying to figure out what to do. We were posting messages up against the wall, you know, shouting at each other, trying to pass on messages through the attorneys to figure out what was going on.
So after 14 hours, they decided it was time for us to go. We were told that we'd be moved to King County, so the bus started to move. And we weren't taken to King County. We were taken out of the view of the media. We were taken around the back of Sandpoint, and then we were unloaded. The cops, the riot gear got on, pepper sprayed a few people from the front of the bus. You do something like that on the bus, it goes throughout the bus and everybody gets it. So at that point, we were forcibly taken off of the buses and taken into Sandpoint. And some of us were taken to King County.
People had a strategy about how they were going to deal. They were going to stick together in jail and not let anyone be separated or isolated or intimidated or punished or threatened. And that really worked.
Our director of organizing was one of those arrested. So that's the wrong person you want to get into a jail cell with a bunch of other folks, because he's going to organize the people on the inside. So that's what happened, was that people started organizing on the inside. There was solidarity actions going on, chanting. What was going on outside to show support for them was also happening on the inside.
It was incredibly moving to hear that 6,000 people had come and sat down or locked down for it so we could see our attorneys.
I was told by the ILWU to deliver the message that if this wasn't resolved, that the ILWU was willing to shut down the ports in solidarity.
It was an obligation for us to be out there. We had to be there. It was our role to be there.
It created a sense of community because that was where the steelworkers and the other unions were bringing food and blankets and water and taking care of people, and people were just taking care of people in what seemed to be the most natural way for human beings to function, but which we had never really seen before.
And then to hear also from the legal team that people in Cuba and Amsterdam and London and Africa and Mexico were rallying for our release was also quite amazing. That first night, everyone was out there so late, and then they had that spokesperson council, and they had the people talking on the bullhorn, repeat after me, this is what is going on. But what was amazing was that we did make a plan through this whole consensus model with a couple hundred people there. I had never seen anything like that before in my life, and I think that for me that was a turning point, because I started to look at people around me differently.
I think the whole Gerald experience really brought a lot of people together, because at that point it became very personal.
It was a good experience to be there in jail, to recognize that, hey, no matter where these people are coming from, right, they decided that they had had enough and that they're willing to lay whatever they had at that point, which was their body down for the cause. And to be with a group of people, no matter where you were coming from, was a very powerful thing.
Outside King County Jail.
The other thing I have to do tonight, is tell you some bad news. And I want your promise.
And I want your promise.
That you will stay sitting down.
That you will stay sitting down.
And hold your neighbor's hands.
And hold your neighbor's hands.
Each of us came to Seattle for different reasons. Some of us out of desperation, as much as out of hope. Some of us came with causes we have worked for our whole lives. Some came for reasons we cannot yet articulate. When we filled the streets of Seattle, there was a power in our bodies that we didn't know we had. In this city, for this moment, our lives were our own. Who can say at what precise location and at what exact hour and date this global movement began? In Seattle, we were only a small part of the movement, but in the gas and bullets, our memory returned. For a moment, our history was made clear to us. We felt the edges of our skin marked by a global and historical struggle. We stopped waiting for our world to be legislated or prescribed to us. This time, we did not ask for permission to be free.
December 3rd.
We had to do more than just give lip service to this coalition building. If we're going to mount an effective response to the events of the week and really coordinate an effective rally on Friday, we had to get out there and walk the talk.
We're going to do this, right? Let's just be perfectly clear. We're going to march back into that no protest zone. The question that the mayor and the chief of police had to ask is, do they want to confront us?
Mexico City, Amsterdam, Bangalore, Lisbon, Paris, Geneva, Berlin, Ankara, Rome, Baltimore, Iceland, Philadelphia, Nashville, Tucson, Manila, Boston, Australia, Wales, Israel, Milan.
The WTO went against too many people at once. No, labor, environmental movement, women's rights, animal rights, every different type of group of people as affected by this. And that's their worst mistake ever. They pissed off too many people. And now we're going to fight back. And we're going to fight back unified. And that's what's going to help us.
By the end of the week, demonstrations were being held around the world in solidarity with the protests in Seattle.
It has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
We took the seat back. We took the seat.
And they tried to tear it at them, and they couldn't stop them.
I think Seattle taught people that all these interests, not only can they live with each other, but they're necessary for each other. That no labor movement will really be strong and sustainable till it includes the environmental concern. And no environmental movement will have a relevance for the future unless it brings into the equation, how do people live? How do they survive? How do they eat? How do they get water?
Was a banner, you know, Teamsters and Turtles together at last. That was so wonderful. Of course, we belong together. The same people who exploit natural resources exploit human resources. We belong together.
This is something that's part of our prophecy, that it's time for us to unite ourselves as common people throughout the world, crossing some of these barriers that have been created by corporations to keep us apart.
Yeah, we got to have solidarity around these things, but solidarity doesn't mean that we don't talk about the issues that separate us. And that's the biggest change that I see happening. Not for us to buy into the whole kumbaya, let's sit around a fucking campfire idea and just march down the road together. That's part of it. But you got to take it that step further. Race, class, gender, sexism, heterosexism, the whole nine yards. If that's not in your analysis, then you're only half-stepping, and you're not really working for the revolution.
In order to make a stronger movement,
We need to actually stop and say, okay, let's assess ourselves and see what we can do to get to know each other better.
Without being liberal and fake about it, figure out how to work with groups that are in struggle and who've been in struggle. And not like, say, come follow us, but like, oh, we're finally awake. Gee, we're kind of late. Let's get something together here.
I will absolutely never be the same again. I've never seen this before. I've never seen people stand up like this before. And I'm gonna take this home, and this is gonna keep me going for a long time. Because it's really opened my eyes to some amazing possibilities.
We need to then make the circle full and not rest satisfied that the streets of Seattle were fully global, because they will not be fully global till the streets of Delhi and Trivandrum, and Ghana, and in South Africa, and in Bangkok, and in Latin America, we start to have the same expressions of solidarity and the same sense and build up that we are together in this.
Isn't this extraordinary? I've been around since the 60s, and my dad in the 30s with the UAW, and this is really happening for the first time. It's great.
Complete collapse
There will be no new millennium round.
This is What Democracy Looks Like, a production of the Independent Media Center in collaboration with Big Noise Films. www.indiemedia.org or thisisdemocracy.org. That's www.indiemedia.org or www.thisisdemocracy.org.
Not only will there be attempts from the Pat Buchanans, there will be an attempt from the Democrats and from the Republicans to ensure that the anti-globalization movement ends up looking like and being a xenophobic movement in its most obvious articulation. And I think we have to ensure that that does not happen, because the anti-globalization movement is about a universal shared humanity.
We scared the shit out of them in Seattle. It's absolutely not. You know, they will sit back now they've had time to reflect, and they're going to try to spin it different ways. But let me tell you, Secretary General Michael Moore is talking different about global trade today than he was just 2 weeks before.
It's time that we come together. It's time to stop feeling as though we are isolated entities living lives of unsatisfactory consumption. It's that we can do it.
We have the capacity to remobilize and come together again, and that's good, because we will.